So we are having an event in a couple of weeks, probably more like like 3 weeks. It's called Boxes of Love. This event is a Thanksgiving event where we take out Thanksgiving turkeys. My first time going to this event, imagine about 4 weeks away. Imagine going to a warehouse, and a warehouse is full of food, and there's people everywhere coming to serve, and they are getting ready to box up probably 1,000 turkeys, and servants are everywhere ready, and then there's this one voice that starts leading the whole group, and that voice is my brother Jay. Brother Jay has, even in that was my first time actually meeting him. He doesn't know it because I was one of 100 troops that he was corralling and giving order to, but his presence in that place gave us all calm. It gave us the missional charge, which really wasn't about boxes. It was about preparing God-centered experiences for people. And even then, his leadership, like, got a bunch of leaders in order. I've been blessed by him in that expression. Been blessed by him as he was an investor in children, and he was at my kids' school investing there. He takes year after year busloads of kids to camp where they get to experience Christ for a whole week in a flavor that they're familiar with. Oftentimes when you go to camp, the word camp to black people is like, what? Go where? Do what? Overnight in a cabin? Okay. But this flavor was one with, you know, music that kids understood and language that the kids understood and mentors and leaders that was familiar to them. And Jay, year after year, has invested in kids in that way. I could give you a long list of things that Jay has done, and one of them is serve as a pastor for some time. I can say, though, that I've been encouraged by the life you live, brother. I've not been able to be directly super intimate always, but it's kind of like a cousin where you may not see him that much, but when you do get a chance to experience him, it's like pick right back up where you left off. And I'm blessed to have you in my life in that way and blessed to be encouraged by you. So I want you to come forth, brother, as I pray for you, and you're going to encourage us in God's word today. Lord, I thank you for Jay and his beautiful family, his wife and child out in the foyer. Lord, I just thank you because this is a family approach to ministry. Would you continue to use him in the lives of people as you have done? His ministry is an expression of you, but it is also flows out of the church walls into the community and streets. So as he preaches today and encourages us, may it equip us to be on mission for you. Use my brother. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, sir. God bless y'all. God bless you. Put a smile on your face. Say thank you, Jesus. So let's get our minds ready for a second. So if you could just repeat Jesus 5 times. I'll say it, you repeat it. Because if our mind is stayed on him, he'll keep us in perfect peace. Jesus.
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 So, Father, we thank you for your peace. There's many distractions going on. There's many things going on in my mind and our minds. But, God, we want to lock in with you. So, God, as you speak and as you use, we just want to say thank you. We thank you for the good. We thank you for the bad. We thank you for the trying. And Father, I just ask you to have your way. That you are a great God. And I thank you for ministering to me this morning here at Mac Ave. So I ask you to continue to allow them to do what they do inside the walls and outside the walls of this community. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm coming out of the great book of Mark where y'all have been at. And so I want to show y'all something. I want to show you this map first. And so When you look at the map, you got to look at, it might not be clear to you, but if you pull it up yourself and you look at it, you'll see that where people came from. And you pull it up on your thingy. I want you to think about that. What they came for and where they came from and why. And they came for a reason because they kept hearing and hearing and hearing. So the question has to be to me, to you, is what are they hearing coming from you here from Mack Ave? Will they come to 50 miles? Will they come to 100 miles? Because that's some of the distance that some of these individuals came for to meet this guy named Jesus. Because of what he was doing and because of the word of mouth that was going out beyond a mile, beyond 2 miles, beyond 3 miles, but they were coming to this. But then if you go to the next slide real quick, I want to go to something that y'all have already heard, but it just kept striking me as I was going through it, and it comes to Mark 3, the top, verses 1 through 6. It says, again, he entered the synagogue. And you got to understand that Jesus, when he came, that's where he went first, the gathering. He went there first, then he went out and went to go do his business like we should do. Because once you leave from here, this gathering, then you should go out into the highways and byways to tell people about the word that you heard, the word that you learned. Because that is literally your responsibility. Because if you live in Matthew 28, right, it says, go. That's a command. Make what? You, disciples. And if we're not doing that, then are we really doing the job of Christ? Job is important. Family's important. Everything that we put on a plate that doesn't belong there should be moved away, and we should start with our wife, our husband, our children. Those are our first disciples, our mother, our father, our friends, someone that's close-knit, that you should be literally going through the word every day with somebody that you say you love, someone you say you care about. But then it goes on and says this. It says, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, the legalistic of people's minds. And then, so that they might accuse him, and he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. Are you coming when Jesus is asking you to come? We're all dealing with something withered inside. And it starts from the inside even before people can notice it on the outside. And then it goes on to say, he said to them, it is lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm or to save a life or to kill. You're stuck in this tradition. And Jesus is saying, look, it's time to be unlocked and to be free. And then it goes on and says, but they were silent. And he looked around at them with an anger and grieved the hardness of their heart and said to man, stretch out your hand. What do you need to stretch out? What is holding you back? Because if I look at the word hard, I look at the word being holy, being anointed, being righteous, to live in destiny. What is it to be holy to you? Where does the anointing come from? Do you want to be right or live in righteousness? I know that you get in debate as a husband and a wife, and you want to get your point down to the point that you don't understand me, you're not listening. No, neither one of you are listening, because as they're saying, you're responding mentally before you say something vocally. And you got to make up in your mind, what is this about? This hard thing is us, but we don't allow Jesus in our hard place. And that's where he wants to be. We just sang the song. And what is your ultimate destination? It is here, or is it with him? And you have to figure out in your mindset of where you want to be, because then he says he stretched out his hand and was restored. So what do we got to do? Stretch. So restoration can come. And so we can reconcile first with him to then even get to people. Your reconciliation comes to him first. It can't be to your wife, your husband, your children, because you got to figure out why do they feel the way that they feel, to think they would think, because so a man think of, so is he. So you got to like, okay, God, what is your plan for me in this situation? Because my wife is really getting on my nerves. My husband is really getting on my nerves. This is bothering me emotionally. This is how I feel. This is how I feel. The Holy Spirit should take care of your emotions instead of you trying to express your emotion. Because some of the emotions we express will be a stumbling block for the person we're in front of. And then it goes on to say, the Pharisee went out and immediately they're trying to off Jesus. They're coming up with a plan. So now we move to the following. And it says in the first slide, it says this, then the Pharisee, another time Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with the, no, sir, go to the first slide. Yes, sir. Go again. One more. There you go. Okay, so, and he said this. And in verse 7, it says, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed from Galilee and Judah and Jerusalem and Edom and from beyond the Jordan and from around the Tyre and Sidon. When the great crowd heard all that they were doing, they came to him. And so I want you to think about this up in verse 7. Jesus never turns away those who earnestly seek him. He never turns away, right? So there has to be some time, some space that you're living with him that comes out of Jeremiah 29, verse 13. There's some time that you got to, like, if you want Jesus to be drawn to you, because he's already in the room. He doesn't have to be brought to a room. He's in the room. He doesn't have to be brought to your car, your home, the store. He's in every room. There's not a room he's not in. But we have to get out of our own mind and all the confusion, all the distractions, all the hurt, all the pain, all this thing that we're going through, and we have to draw ourselves unto him. But then Jesus, at this time, you got all these people coming from all those areas that I just mentioned, and they're coming to the Father because they heard this man is healing people. Then you got other people. Let me see who he is. I want to know who this guy is that's, you know, this all this noise is going about. But then we get in arguments and debates and just allow God to lead you instead of you leading yourself. So people can be drawn to him in the room. There's not a room that God is not in. Tell me one that's not. And then if you received him and said, he's my Savior, then he instantly gives you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So now you're the church and you bring people together. Now you're having a gathering talking about who? The one who drew you. The one who drew you. You remember your first time when you recognized him? Remember? Remember when you prayed and said, I was going to stop doing this and stop doing that, but you're still doing that and Jesus still gave you the grace and mercy that follows you every day? And he's still saying, like, boom, when my dad died last year, May 25th, he worked for USS Steel for 36 years. I'm his only son. My mom has dementia. She won't remember me one day. My dad couldn't see me anymore. And he was an amputee, and it drove me bananas that I lost my dad. And I went to a bad place. Place that I was drawn away from God. But even in the midst of the darkness, there's always light. He was reminding me, but then I would go back to my pain because my pain became my God. And I put it in a place that it never belonged because he took care of it on the cross. The same thing he did for you. The same thing he did for you. And so then I have to make up in my mind of what I'm going to do if I follow his word, because Jesus never turns away who earnestly seek him. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So the heart, the word heart, God, look at it in your mind. He has the ear to hear the artwork of your heart. All those words are in heart. But then if you look at Jeremiah 17, he knows that we're deceitfully wicked. And people will say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he know you're crazy. He know I'm crazy. But then Psalm says, delight yourself unto him. He shall give you the desires of your heart. There's some stuff that needs to be removed. And then he says this, I'm going to go back. Jesus withdrew with the disciples to the sea, and a great crowd followed him from Galilee and Judah and all the different places that I mentioned. When a great crowd heard all that he was doing, they came to him. Man, that's power. That's authority. That's something that is amazing that you would be hearing about what Jesus did. That's what brought you here. Because Jesus is doing the work. I remember when this church was being thought of 15 years ago. I sat in the office with Bryce Gray and Eric. I sat there, and he wanted to connect us, and I heard, and I heard, and I heard, and I heard. Now I'm in the room, and then my son is in the other room. My surprise or not, we practice, and so now we have a son. Right, because of practice, and we weren't expecting this son, but I didn't expect him because we lost 3 miscarriages, and then we lost our son. And I held my son in my hand, and I told my son 10 years ago what I was going to do as he was not breathing. The prayer was that he would come out breathing, but he came out purple. My wife didn't see him, but I seen him. And then my wife held him for over an hour, and God showed me so many emotions, but she ended up celebrating him in her last emotion. She realized the cry, the tears of a mom I can't understand who held a child in her womb for 8 months. And now that child is no longer here. And we had all these plans. We had all this stuff. He would be here right now. It didn't work out that way. But then he gave us Joshua. Joshua Mercy Hill. He's our promise. God gave us mercy. My wife was even bothered for a couple weeks at me and God. But she participated. And so in that, right? Now you couldn't tear my wife away from Joshua. And Joshua, he wakes up in the morning, majority of times with a smile on his face. And I wanted you to hear something that I do with Joshua in the morning time for most mornings. I do this one thing with him, and it blesses my soul that my son does this with me. Every morning, you know, for majority of the mornings, he does this. And it's just amazing to me that the connection that me and my son have and how God has used my son to bless me in so many ways. And I played this song for him in the womb. Through the motions, sorry. And I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you.
You need to open up your heart to me.
I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. You remember those moments? I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me. That is your case, that there's nothing else, then why can't we live that way? Because when Jesus was doing what he was doing in Mark 3, he goes on and he says, and I told, And he told his disciples to have a boat ready for him. Because now you got all these crowds of people trying to just stretch, trying to just touch. But then at the same time, you had these people in the back grumbling, complaining. Who does he think he is? I'm that guy. Living in that pride, living in that place that they shouldn't live in, but they were living in this false sense of legalism and religion and making sure people seen when they were fasting, making sure people seen all these different things. Is that the importance, or is it just your moments that you can have with him? Because then it goes on and says, the boat ready for him, he was prepared. Jesus had a boat. He told his guys, hey, listen, we need a boat. We need to get on the other side, right? And then he says, had the boat ready for him because of the crowd, lest they crush him. For he had healed many so that all had diseases pressed around him to touch him. And whenever the unclean spirit saw him, whoo. Now you got the man with the withered hand, and he told him, hey, be quiet. Don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. He didn't obey. He went out and ran his mouth. He told everybody. But then it says this, whenever the unclean spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, reverence, afraid. Then he said, you are the Son of God. The demons recognize who he is. Why can't we? They recognized him. And they crying out. Then he says to them, he strictly ordered them not to make him known. That I'm still trying to comprehend. Like this evil presence that was in someone cries out. He tells them to be quiet. And they listen. And they leave. But where do they go? The Bible says they walk to and fro. So I'm still like researching. And then it says in verse 13, it says, and because it was a power release, and he went out on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed the 12, whom he also named the apostles, so that they might be with him and might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the names of Borjanans. And that is, I pronounced that wrong, the sons of thunder, Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot and the Judas the Iscariot who betrayed him. He even recruited a betrayer. But he knew he was a betrayer before he recruited a betrayer. I wonder who's in your group that's going to betray you. We all need a betrayer. If he had one, why shouldn't we have one? But then we be mad at our betrayer because the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. And we're worrying about the people who are betraying us, and then we're being negative Nancy's with our mouth. Sorry, is there somebody in here named Nancy? We're being negative in our mouths by talking about the people that we feel that betrayed us. Some people say it's the church. It's never been the church. It's the people who are the church who betrayed you. But were they really connected to the king? And were they necessary for you to be closer to the king? Because when you start praying for your betrayer, then you're on the other side. And there's people in your school, young people, who've betrayed you and who talk about you and call you out your name. Your dad and your mom gave you your name, but God predestined your name before your mom and dad even got together. And so you got to recognize that that name that they call you outside of whatever else is not your name. You know you're a child of God. You know you're a woman of God. You know you're a woman of destiny. You know you're a king's kid. And you never, ever forget that because you don't have to respond to negativity because once you respond, you accept what they say. But you don't need to accept what the enemy is saying. You need to accept what the word is saying. And if Jesus had a betrayer, why not we? And so I look at it from the framework. There's been people in my life or even myself who betrayed people. Before I knew Jesus, I knew betrayer, manipulation, anger, frustration. But some of you, here's a word for you. You got to stop allowing anger to be your daddy. Because you allow anger to lead you and guide you and make you say and do, and you following and worshiping up your anger instead of worshiping up the God who can remove the anger that's within. Because everything, if you stretch out to him and you keep stretching, because I could tell you when I was sitting on the steps of my mother and dad's house at the second step, and my mom and dad, and it was just me. I was the only kid. And my mom worked at University of Pittsburgh. Like I told you, my dad worked at USS Steel. And man, I had a good dad. He taught me consistency. He taught me faithfulness. He didn't give me a lot of words. But he just showed me things that I need to do as a man. He didn't talk to me about scripture. I went to church probably 5 times from the time I was born in 1966 on March 5th. It'll be 2025, March 5th, 2025. That's my birthday. And so if you want to go ahead and, you know, give me something you ain't given me in 59 years, I'm not going to stop you of giving. That's my love language. I love gifts. I'm just letting y'all know. You know, so at the end of the day, now listen, March 5th, 2025, you go ahead and let God use you. It's better to give. Okay, you know the word. Okay, good. Let that go. Let it go. But I'm sitting on this step, and it's 2021, and it was the beginning to me of the downfall of my dad and my mom. My mom was she showed a lot of authority. She would get on my nerves sometimes. I'd be like, Dad, she's wrong. And he would know she was wrong, and I wanted to see him tell her in her face. I wanted to see it. But it wasn't necessary for me to see. But I hadn't at that point, because I gave my life in 2001, October 13th, at Faith Clinic Church of God in Christ. And God has been showing me nothing but memories of things I've said on social media, because I'm a speaker, do a lot of leadership training. And there was things that I said on social media that I was saying that God was leading me to say, but I didn't know it was for me now. I didn't realize but it was for me. And he keeps showing me these videos. And the recent one he showed me when I got baptized. I just showed it to your pastor. I remember that day. And I could hear the things that the different preachers were saying in the back, because people saw stuff back then that I couldn't even see myself. And so now I'm living out with some of the things that people had seen back then. But it's not about me. I just have a gift, and I want to use my gifts. I want to surrender my mind, my heart, my body, as it says in Mark 12, 30, 31. I want to love my neighbor when I just wanted him just to cut his grass. You know? But it's necessary for him not to cut his grass so I can love him better. It's necessary for him to allow the trees to grow through my fence so I can love him more. It's necessary for that, because God is working on my fruit, just like yours, right? And we say people are getting on my last nerve. I don't know where that is. You show me where that is. No, you getting on your, you living out your own stuff, and you blaming people for your sin. I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. And I don't live to be a sinner, but it's just natural, because that's the way it is. I'm not going to follow God in every moment. I'm going to make mistakes. And so then it goes on to say this in verse 20. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again so they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he is out of his mind. Come on now. Jesus was doing his job. He was handling his business. They was coming to his house. Do you invite him into yours? Is that their oasis that you don't even know about? Because they have drought in their own. And you might be a stream that they need to be connected to. And Jesus went to he went out. That's my son. Being my son right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then it says in verse 22, and the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons, he casts out demons, which makes no sense. It's like contrary to what they're saying, and the scribes that you know are the town clerks, right? But the crazy part of it is the demons knew who he was, but people who had the demons couldn't even have a clue. And we got people around here that are mentally challenged, that have things going on and possessed by some things, but we are the people of deliverance. We are the people of change. Love is the best weapon that you can ever have. The blood of Jesus is that I pray over people and over my house on a regular basis. And I pray and I pray and I pray and I say, Lord, protect my family. Protect not my biological family, but this baby right here that I don't know her name. The one that's back there taking a night-night right now on the shoulder, right? And we get mad if someone falls asleep, but what is God saying in their ear that you can't hear? Because that's a rest. And so, like, I'm even going to challenge Pastor Leon and his wife. They need more than a day, family. They need rest. And you have to allow your leadership to go to the level that God needs it to be so that they can get their rest. They need a rest. I've been praying for here. For whatever reason, I'm praying, but I'm praying. And they need a rest. And you need to pray and so that he can hear, she can hear, or their children can hear, Dad, Mom, it's time for not a day, but seven. Where you just shut everything down and you just chill with him. There's a better place to chill with Jesus, because then it goes on and says in verse 23, and he called him and said to them in a parable, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if the house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up himself as and is divided, he cannot stand but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds up the strong man. Then indeed, he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of men and whatever blasphemy they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of eternal sin. For they were saying he is an unclean spirit. God is not an unclean spirit. God is not the cause of your issue. God is not the cause of the person who passed away. God is not that cause. He knows. He understands. I don't understand sometimes why one stay, one leave. I don't get it. And to be honest with you and truthful you, because of God showing me my pain from my childhood, if I tell you in 2019, my dad's walking up the driveway and he got his cane because he had diabetes and he had to get his leg cut off. But before that time, he's walking up and he stands in front of the driveway. He's standing right here. I can see what he has on. He said, JJ, when I die, I need you to take care of your mama. And I didn't want that. Because my dad and me had a different relationship. My mom gave me heck. She gave me heck. She's done some things that I was like, man, this is not even cool. You my mama. You shouldn't be doing this. And in my mind at that moment, I was like, God, I don't want my daddy to die first. I don't want him to die first. So I'm mad at my mom. She's hurt me in so many different ways, mentally and physically, that I just didn't agree with it. It just wasn't cool anymore. I'm tired of you not knowing my. I was married before. I was in the world, so I did a lot of practice. And so at the end of the day, when I met my wife, December 11th, there'll be 20 years. And she's never been in my house. She's never been in my house. My dad would come. My mom wouldn't. And as she has dementia and she moved here, I moved them here. She wouldn't even come to my house then. And then when I moved them here. I would go to their house and she would literally put her middle finger on my nose and say the words over and over again. And I had the fortitude and the forge because it was a fire to me. It was burning some stuff away from me. I had to stop focusing on what she was not doing and what I expected. But again, God showed me when my dad was in rehab and my mom got lost a few times because of dementia and I had to go back home and I had to put her in the same rehab. He showed me when I picked up the car, my mom and him's car, and in the back there was pictures of me. He was like, "She loves you." And then I was like, okay, I got to be better. He's exposing my heart. I can worship and I love God, but there was still some wickedness in me because of my past. And I was allowing my past to prevent me from moving forward. What are you allowing yourself from not moving forward to? Who have you not forgiven? Who are you blaming when it was the devil and they were being used? And God is trying to show you him instead of you looking at the wrong thing. It's going to be amazing raising two boys, but there's going to be trials and tribulations that come with it. I have five boys and two girls, 37 to 2. And people thought I was crazy of having a two-year-old and calling me granddad and this, that, these, and the others. And I love every bit of Joshua. He's changed my perspective. God is using him as a tool for his dad. And then it says this in verse 31. And his mother and his brothers came and standing outside, they sent him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around, he said, "Here, here, 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 here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Are you doing his will? Are you walking in his wisdom? Because when you walk in his wisdom, you'll bring impact. And the impact you will bring will be loyalty to him and the love that covers everything. That should be your will. And we need to stop looking at our past. There's a point for a rearview mirror just to look and then keep going forward. There's a point of the side view mirrors to take a look, pay attention, understand your blind spots. There's a point of that, but then you need people, brothers and sisters, who are in your life, who are holding you accountable to be like him, that can have a conversation in love and say, "Look, you're missing this, sis. You're missing this, bro. Your tone needs to change. Your attitude needs to change. You need to walk in God's authority and stop walking in the negativity of your thoughts." Because if you begin to do that, then you'll have an ultimate rest. It says, and he answered them. Jesus will answer you. He will give you what you need if you lean into what he is saying. And sometimes you're not going to like it. Because I don't know what type of conversations you have with the relationship you have with Abba. But I'd be like, "God, you're tripping. I don't want to do that." And I prayed and I prayed on my last note to you. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I said, "God, I just want my mom to be nice. Can you just make her nice? I want these memories that I have with my mama to be great when she leaves this earth." And so on July 4th, I had to be in a wedding of a friend of mine. And so I went to go see my mom. My one friend has cancer. I spent time with him, praying for him. And I went to go see my mom, and I was sitting on the her bed and just talking. And she says, "My eyes keep watering," because she was married to my dad for 59 years. And the first conversation, if I call her or see her, what's going on with the house? I said, Mom, we're still working on it. And then we go into another conversation because dementia is a horrible, horrible, horrible disease. So I'm sitting on the bed. She's talking, I'm talking. And I lay in her chest. I was like, baby, 8 years old. Like, I lay in her chest and she just got it. Like, it was amazing. She was saying stuff that I never heard her say. She was like, I miss you. I wish you were here. I love you. And she was rubbing my head. Because I'm love language is touch. She was just rubbing me. I don't know. I was there for a while because I was just trying to soak it in. Because I can't remember the last time she did that. He heard me. He heard me. He answered. And I walked outside and I worshiped him. I worshiped him. And then he said, the way you worship me now is the way you should worship me when it's not that good. Don't allow the enemy to stop you from worshiping me. Stretch. When Pastor Leon sent me this email concerning the two different dates, and I kept reading, I read over and over and over and over and over. Probably done read it probably 500 times. I read over. I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. He's teaching me how to stretch. I don't want to be withered. I want to be healed. Do you? Do you? And I would say, if you do, you should get up, sit where you sit, get on your knees, and talk to Abba. Okay. Stretch. Stop waiting. Now, there's the altar. And I'm going to let the song play for 2 minutes. Hear the words, but some of you in here need to stretch now. And you're waiting for somebody else to do it when you need to be the lead and get it done.
Nothing else, nothing else.